It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 895 for the 16th of August, 2024. This week, Canva, especially with its acquisition of Affinity's photo design and publishing apps, is a powerful competitor for graphic design. But don't expect it to unseat Adobe anytime soon, if ever. In short circuits, artificial intelligence for visual tasks is advancing so fast that any examination of the current state of affairs is nearly pointless. But let's take a look at what Adobe, Microsoft, and Canva are up to these days anyway. There's a certain amount of glee these days among Adobe haters, a crowd that is more vocal than I had expected. That's because they think Canva will destroy their hated nemesis. Will it? Is this another story of David demolishing Goliath? Well, in a word, no. If you like a somewhat more nuanced answer, consider this. Canva is likely to make some inroads into Adobe's market share for individuals, those at small companies who are tasked with graphic design but lack training, and some design teams at enterprises who are looking for ways to quickly and easily storyboard design projects that will then be developed in Adobe products. Canva has nothing to compare with Adobe's video, audio, photography, or website design products. Now, that said, limited Canva accounts are free. Paid accounts are very reasonably priced. Canva can be used as an app on the computer or online in a web browser. The interface makes it remarkably easy, and it offers non-designers the ability to create work that simply isn't laughable. Free accounts are given 5 megabytes of online storage and access to a subset of Canva's millions of photos. Paid accounts cost $120 per year, and users have access to 100 million photos and are given 1 terabyte of online storage, the ability to customize existing templates and save new designs as templates, sound effects, some powerful AI features, brand management tools, and access to support. I signed up for a paid account several years ago, primarily for access to stock photos, and I occasionally use some of the other features such as templates, the background removal tool, and asset management. Although Canva has acquired Affinity's photo design and publisher apps for Windows, Mac, and iOS devices, they don't yet offer combined access. And although Canva is a subscription-based program, Canva pledges that Affinity apps will always be sold with perpetual licenses. To quote the company's statement, "If we do offer a subscription, it'll be only ever as an option alongside the perpetual model for those who prefer it. This fits with enabling Canva users to start adopting Affinity. It could also allow us to offer Affinity users a way to scale their workflows using Canva as a platform to share and collaborate on their Affinity assets if they choose to." So, given that statement, the future is open to a lot of possibilities. It's likely that the Canva-Affinity combination will attract some Adobe customers, and Adobe should be concerned, but not panicked. Adobe's wide range of products and its emphasis on continuously adding features makes the company a formidable force for creatives who need access to multiple media types. Canva Affinity is still essentially limited to photography, design, and basic publications, but the threat is there. Quoting Canva's statement again, "We're committed to using our shared resources to continue expanding Affinity's products through further investment in Affinity as a standalone product suite. We're looking forward to accelerating the rollout of highly requested features such as," watch out here, Adobe, "variable font support, blend and width tools, auto object selection, multiple page spreads, EPUB support, and much more." So, yes, there's some threat there. So don't expect Adobe's demise. But do take a look at Canva Affinity if you work in any design capacity. I've talked about Affinity apps previously, most recently in 2023, and you'll find a link to that article on the TechBiter Worldwide website. So now it might be a good time to take a look at what Canva offers. The latest new feature is Canva Magic Expand. It's the equivalent of Adobe's Generative Fill, and Adobe is currently far ahead of Canva. You'll see an example on the TechBiter Worldwide website. I started with a photo of three caramel apples that I wanted to expand to the left so I could place text there. Adobe produced results much faster than Canva, and the results were considerably better. Canva's fill didn't include the texture of a wooden background, Adobe's did. As a result, the manipulation was more obvious in Canva. The image from Canva could be used, especially if the text placed on the top layer was sufficiently bulky, but there's no question that Adobe wins, and by a margin that's made even larger by virtue of its faster response and the fact that Canva's first attempt crashed. Canva does offer some exceptional functionality, though. Features designed to help people who aren't graphic designers can create workable images. And Canva includes a design school website. It won't take the place of spending 4 years at the Columbus College of Art and Design, the Rhode Island School of Design, or Cooper Union, but it will give an attentive person enough information to use the tools with competence. Sometimes competence is sufficient, and good enough really is good enough. Canva's design school highlights a significant difference from Adobe. Canva approaches the process for those who need to learn the basics, while Adobe's videos tend to presume the viewer already understands the knowledge behind the project and simply needs to know how to use the application to create a desired effect. Both approaches are exactly right for their intended audiences. The developers have done a remarkable job in creating an installable app and a web interface that are virtually indistinguishable. Although occasionally I have had a small problem locating a function in the app that's easily accessed on the web interface. Overall, it's a well-designed interface that's easy for users to follow as they progress through the stages of a project. The user's home screen displays the most recent projects and suggests several activities for the user to try. There are direct links to documents, whiteboard presentations, social media, video, print products, and websites. The templates page is one of Canva's most powerful features, offering starting points for various kinds of projects. The branding page offers guidance for those who need to create a brand with useful information about logos, typefaces, and colors. And the website screen offers tools for information for setting up basic websites. Earlier, I mentioned that Canva can't compete with Adobe for video and websites, and yet I've just described options that include video and website design. The difference is that Canva is best suited for very short videos, such as those found on social media, while Adobe's video applications can be used to create full-length motion pictures that will be shown in theaters. Likewise, Canva is well suited to creating a basic informational website, while Adobe Dreamweaver is the tool needed to create interactive websites with hundreds of pages. Let's take a quick look at a simple Canva project. I post a daily image on Facebook. It illustrates the day's theme according to holidays calendar. You know, things like National Pepperoni Pizza Day, Global Handwashing Day, International Cat Day, things like that. So I would start by searching for a pizza picture to use on National Pepperoni Pizza Day. The image I'll select for this demonstration has more than pepperoni, and it's not the picture that I actually used for that day's image, but it allows me to illustrate some of the other features. Images shown with crowns can be used only by paid subscribers. Those using free accounts will see other images. I selected the image, specified the size of the final illustration, 1200 by 628 pixels. The original image doesn't fit that format. Because there's plenty of room at the top, I can enlarge the image proportionally to fill the left side of the screen. I need some space at the top for the text, though, so I need to leave some of it. And I need to use Magic Expand on the right. Check it out. You'll find the images on the TechBiter Worldwide website. I completed the project by adding text at the top and the date. Magic Expand worked very well here, but it's still considerably behind what Adobe does. Canva's variety of typefaces, extensive as it is, still falls considerably short of what Adobe offers. Overall, though, the result is more than acceptable. And even with the relatively slow Magic Expand process, the project was quick and easy. Canva is already a well-regarded application that's a solid performer for its intended market. With the addition of Affinity to the family, it could begin to make some inroads into Adobe's market share. But definitely, it is not the Adobe killer that some grumpy gurus seem to want it to be. For more information about Canva, check out the Canva website. There's a link from the TechBiter Worldwide website. You can sign up for a free account there. And next, let's take a look at Canva's AI image generation compared to others in that market segment. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In Short Circuits, in addition to Magic Expand, which I just described, Canva has added Magic Media. It can create an image based on the user's description. Adobe uses Firefly to create images from text descriptions, and Microsoft Designer uses WALL-E. Obviously, there are potential dangers and misuses involved with this technology, but there's no way to uninvent something. We might be better off without the internal combustion engine, atomic energy, and the internet. But we have them all, and all we can do is concentrate on using them ethically and safely. And that's as far as I'm going to go with that discussion. So now we have artificial intelligence that can create images based on descriptions. Let's take a look at three of the available options. There are more than three, but I'm going to limit this experiment to just Adobe Photoshop using Firefly, Microsoft Designer using WALL-E, and Canva, which has the process built in. The text provided for each application was the same. Four cats sitting at a table in a home library, playing cards, and drinking beer. Adobe Firefly has the largest number of selectable options in addition to the text that the user provides. The first choice is content type. That's a choice between art and photo. The user can then provide a reference image if desired, and Firefly will try to capture the look and feel of that image. The final selection offers choices from an effects panel with subsections for movements, themes, techniques, effects, material, and concepts. Adobe will probably fix that redundancy eventually. Each of the subsections has a variety of choices. Materials, for example, offers charcoal, claymation, fabric, fur, metal, origami, yarn, and several others. You're not limited to a single choice. You could choose antique photo, chaotic, charcoal, and claymation. I don't even want to think about what you'd see if you chose that. Firefly's realism is quite good if you choose the photo option. All four of the images are clearly AI creations, though, if only for the subject matter and not the photorealism. Microsoft Designer's work may be slightly better than Firefly's at the moment. The backgrounds aren't quite as out of focus as Firefly's images, which improves the realism. I particularly enjoyed two of the four images that include cats sitting atop bookshelves in the background. One of the images is added to people who are playing cards with the cats, and both the hands and the paws are reasonably well rendered. Hands have been an ongoing problem when they're included in a lot of AI efforts. As the new kid on the AI block, Canva's results are interesting. One of the images is an old-style drawing, and another looks like a dated photograph, something from maybe the mid-1900s or earlier. The other two have more modern looks, but the cats are too large in one photo and sitting on the floor instead of in the chairs. And here's an important note. I wrote this summary at the end of July, but it won't air until mid-August. By then, everything could be different. AI image creation is evolving faster than anything I've ever seen in computer software. What's been accomplished in the past year is certainly based on foundational work that began long ago. But the kinds of advances we've seen in just a very short period seem like they should have taken a decade or more, not just a few months. So what did I just say by that? Well, in other words, by the time you hear this, it might be entirely out of date. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.